Morning, everyone. Thank you for coming, listening to my sermon today. The sermon is actually a test to test the recording ability of my church. As most of you know by now, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. My name is Bob Harris. And I actually am the pastor of a small church in Valdez, Alaska. One of my goals coming here 8 weeks ago was that we podcast. Because I truly believe that us getting out to the community, and not just our local community, I mean our world community, is truly important. And that goes into our Revelation 14 topic, which is not today, but we will talk about that eventually. But I'd like to talk to you about today's sermon. As I was working on a sermon series, well, a few weeks ago, I was working on a series on Revelations 12, 14, and 18. And I was going to call it The War to End All Wars. Well, as I was typing these sermons up, it came to me that, yes, we are coming up on this war, this last war, that war that would end all wars. But see, the problem is, before we can fight this war, we must be prepared for it. So I stopped every sermon I was working on right then. I set it down and added two more to this series. Well, today, I would like to talk to you about how we prepare for this upcoming battle. So that leads us into our sermon topic, which is looking for Andrew. In one of my classes at the university, Southwestern University, we were asked which one of the apostles were our favorite. Well, as you expected, you know, many would say Paul, because he was such a great preacher. Others said John, because he wrote the book of Revelation. But for me, I had to be different. But I answered Andrew. And I want you to know why. Andrew is not my favorite apostle because he was a great preacher. But he did have a brother who was an outstanding pastor. And for the most part, Andrew was referred in the manner of Simon Peter's brother. I mean, poor Andrew. Always second to his brother. I mean, how many of you have siblings? How many of you are tired of being called so-and-so's brother or so-and-so's sister? See, I was lucky. I was the oldest, so for the most part, I never had to hear, you know, you're Bobby's younger brother. But my two other brothers did. And that necessarily was always the best of the comment. But from everything I read, Andrew was never affected by this. And in fact, that's one of the reasons I truly admire Andrew, is because of this. And that's what I would like to talk to you about today. The character of Andrew and how each and every one of us need to look inside ourselves and find our Andrew. In the beginning, Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. And we read this in John 1, verses 35 through 40. It says, again the next day, John stood with his two disciples. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them follow, said to them, what do you seek? And they said, Rabbi, where are you staying? he said to them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two that heard John speak and followed was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. See, Andrew and John were fishermen by trade, and two sons of wealthy men who had formed a successful partnership. And yes, it is true that we do not know how Andrew and John came to follow John the Baptist, but my guess is they heard John the Baptist preach, and as they transported their fish from Jerusalem to Galilee. But I would like to discuss four characters of Andrew that really touched me and that I would like to share with you today. See, the first reason I loved Andrew was because Andrew was willing to play second fiddle. You may have to do that again. Sorry, I'm playing with the volume control. He was willing to play second fiddle. He was mentioned 13 times in the Bible. And six of these times, Andrew was called Simon Peter's brother. Now, as we discussed before, how would you like to spend your whole life in the shadow of your brother? But see, understand that Andrew knew that he was doing God's work, and when you're doing God's work, you're his. And Andrew was a team player and didn't mind. I'd like to tell you a story of a little girl. See, this little girl went on to do an errand for her mother. And this little girl was running late. And when she got back, her mother asked her to explain why she was so late. The little girl just looked up at her mother and explained that her playmate had fallen and broken her doll. Well, the mother was wondering why that would affect her being tardy. Well, the young girl replied and said, "I had to sit down and help her cry." The truth is, sometimes all we are called to do is be in a supporting role. The second reason why I loved Andrew was because he did God's work his way. And when I say he did it his way, I do not mean Andrew's way. See, he let God lead. He did not put Andrew into the equation. He allowed Christ to use him in any way he saw fit. We read in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 23 through 25. It's about David and his first battle with the Philistines. So we read, "Therefore David inquired of the Lord. And he said, 'You shall not go up.'" He said, "Circle around them and come up them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear the sound of the marching on top of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly. For then the Lord will go out before you and strike the camp of the Philistines." We read in verse 25, "And David did so as the Lord commanded him. And he drove back the Philistines from Gaza. See, this is an account of David's victory over the Philistines. And it describes a decisive event in his life. See, understand that this was the first victory of the Philistines as king of Israel. The Philistines had come to battle determined to overthrow this new king of Israel. Thus, this battle was decisive not only for David as an individual, but for Israel as a nation. See, though, however, the day was David's, and he resigned as king of Israel for many years to follow. See, the secrets of David's success was not his superior military maneuvers, but a very simple one. He just waited for the Lord to go ahead of him. The battle had to be fought by David, and yes, many suffered because of it. And there were many casualties. But see, the victory was certain because David allowed the army of the Lord to march ahead of him. You see, he found his Andrew. See, letting God take the lead is an important Christian principle. There was a story of a man who asked for God's protection while driving on a long journey. See, he asked God to send an angel ahead of him and protect him. He was really sure that God had heard him, and he expected the angel's protection. However, once he got on the highway, he could not resist the temptation to speed. And he got into a serious accident. Well, while recovering in the hospital, he laid there looking up and shouted to God. He says, "You promised to send a guardian angel to protect me, Lord. Where was this angel when I crashed into the truck?" See, shortly after that, he heard a voice from God. And his voice said, "Son," he says, "I did send my guardian angel, and he was ahead of you clearing a safe path. But once you entered the highway, soon you were driving at speeds the angel could not keep up with. And before he could get back ahead of you, clear the truck, you had already rammed into it." See, people, God is willing to lead, but you have to be willing to let him. Third reason I love Andrew so much is because he knew from day one that Christ's ministry started at home. We read this in John 1, verses 40 through 42. It says, "Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two that heard John and said," heard what John said, had said, "and followed Jesus." The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him. He says, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. Let's look again. What did Andrew do here? The minute he heard that Jesus was the Messiah, he didn't go running down the street yelling, "I have found the Messiah." Didn't run to his best friend. It didn't even say he ran to his girlfriend. It says that he ran to his brother and told him. See, I think this says a lot about Andrew and Peter's relationship. Like I said, he could have just started yelling at everyone he saw. But the first person he ran to was his brother. And he said, "We have found the Messiah." See, Andrew became the first disciple to bring others to Jesus. I mean, this testifies to the profound impression that was made not just on Andrew's mind, but in his heart after just one conversation. I feel like it's noteworthy of saying that without Andrew, Peter may have never had the opportunity to come to Christ. I also thought it was interesting that when Jesus changed Peter's name, but he did not change Andrew's name. See, Andrew had already made a name for himself. Jesus recognized Andrew was not one that needed to be changed. Ask yourself a question. How many of you go home at night and hold Bible study with your family? Understand that the plan of salvation starts at home. And Andrew knew this. I read two books about the Amish over this summer. And they were an interesting group of people. The families work together, they eat together, they hold their studies together. And truth is, except for a few hours every day, the children are busy and being watched. See, the only problem I see with the Amish is that they cut themselves off from the world. See, people, we can't do this. We are of the world, and because we are of the world, we must prepare our children to be Andrews for Christ. We must teach them to stand up and say, we have found our Messiah. Andrew's example should teach us the importance of personal efforts and making direct appeals to our family, our friends, and our neighbors. Ellen White wrote in her third book, Testimonies, from time to time, read with them interesting stories in Bible history. Question, as what do they have learned in Sabbath school, and study with them the next Sabbath lesson. Andrew knew that the plan of salvation started at home. So the fourth reason I really like Andrew here is because Andrew knew that being a Christian is not a spectator sport. I mean, nowhere did I hear Andrew say, Jesus, I'm sorry, but I'm just a volunteer. He did not say, I am not getting paid, Lord. Please let me go home. See, he knew there were no volunteers in the service of Christ. It was just the opposite. Andrew knew that he was in the service of Christ and that the payment was not of this earth, but the promise of everlasting life in the presence of a Savior. Let's turn to Mark 1, verses 16 through 18. We read, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their net and followed him. A friend of mine told me an interesting story about a chicken and a pig. See, one day the chicken said to the pig, let's fix breakfast. He says, I will provide the egg and you can provide the ham. Well, of course, the pig looked at him and says, that is not fair. He says, you're just contributing. You're not sacrificing. See, the problem is most Christians approach discipleship like the chicken. They are just contributing. Jesus asked us to sacrifice. I want to be just like Andrew. Because he showed us what an ordinary Christian can do. That he is a blueprint, a map that shows us how to live our lives working for Christ. We see him always helping, always blessing. We never hear of any other great talents that he held. His only talent was bringing people to Christ. And I don't know about you, but that is what truly amazes me about him, about Andrew. I read a story once about a man who had a dream one night. And in this dream, he saw the throne of God in front of him. And standing there in front was a singer next to Jesus. And he said the singer sang the most amazing song to the Father he had ever heard. He said next was a writer. And he said he wrote the prettiest poem for Jesus that he had ever heard. It made him cry. He says then the angel brought another mortal before the throne. He was an ordinary man, and in this person was no signs of greatness or any genius at all. But he said the angel opened the book and read, "This man won a soul for Christ." At that moment, all the heavens rang with this great shout, and the angels and all the host of the redeemed rejoiced because one soul had been saved. I have a question for everyone that's listening today. Do you believe that Christ is coming? Then we must be willing to stand up and say, "I have found my Messiah." Have you found your Andrew? Understand, a church that does not grow dies. See, every time I think of Andrew, it reminds me of a church member that came up to me a few years ago. She said, "Pastor, I truly love the Lord, and I want to serve him. But I am very shy and do not think that I could talk to people that I do not know." She says, "I can't sing or even play an instrument." See, understand, she was very upset that because she felt like she had nothing to offer Christ. See, the first thing I asked her was, do you really love Jesus and want to serve him? And she was like, "Oh yes, Pastor." She says, But I just have nothing to offer him. I'm going to tell you, that one statement almost made me cry. I told her before she was even born, God conceived her in his mind. And at that moment that she was born, God had a plan for her. I continued on and ask her, "Do you really think God would design a person that he could not use?" And we continue talking, telling her that every Christian plays a special part in the mystery of Christ, and that we would find hers. We sat down, we discussed, we found out that she was a wedding planner, a party planner. And that's what she did for a living. I'm telling you, the next week, she became the chairman of our special events ministry. She found her Andrew and brought people to Christ her way. See, just like Andrew, Jesus understood that she was a humble person, and she was comfortable in whatever role he asked her to play in his ministry. Understand, it is possible to be a follower of Jesus without being a disciple. To be a camp follower without being a soldier of the King. Someone was talking to a great scholar once about a younger man, and he said that his friend had been a student of that teacher. The teacher just looked at him and answered, "He may have attended my lectures, but he was not one of my students." He said that there was a world of difference between attending lectures and being a student. This is the supreme handicap of the church. In the church that we have too many followers of Jesus and so few real disciples. We must all be like Jesus. Or we must all be like Andrew and Jesus. See, all it took was one night with Christ, and Andrew saw Jesus' divine character. And it allowed Andrew and Simon to just leave everything behind. Question is, are you like Andrew? And are you willing to stand up and say, "I have found my Messiah"? It is the Andrews in this world that bring the Peters. It is the Andrews of this world who bring the little ones. And it's the Andrews of this world who bring the outsiders and the seekers. He would seek no fame. He was content with his role in Christ's ministry. He was friendly. He was unassuming. He was gentle. He was humble. And I believe that Proverbs 11, verse 30, tells us one more thing about the Apostle Andrew. It says, "The fruit of righteousness is the tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls." So I guess Andrew was wise as well. It is the Andrews of this life who changed the world. And as we close, we should look at our hearts and say, "Andrew, where are you?" There are still more people that need to meet Jesus. See, Jesus chose Andrew. Quiet, assuming, unassuming, attentive, gentle Andrew. He chose him before he chose Peter. He knew that Andrew, one talent Andrew, would be steady and dependable as a follower as he could ask for. Andrew was more suited to an evening stroll than a 100-yard dash. More suited at being a magnet to draw others instead of this dynamo charge just to go out who attracted others. He was more suited to knowing people than facts and figures. In fact, you could do a little play on his name, Andrew others to Jesus. I have one more question for you today. Do you want to be a chicken or a pig? I just want to thank everyone for listening. I know I was playing with the volume a little bit here and there, so it may change. But let us know what you think about the recording. I guess if you want to comment about the sermon, you're welcome too. But mainly the quality. let me know if we need to change any settings. Thank you, and God bless.